It's Monday. I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's the Gab and Jules Show. Jules, big, big show. It's gloomy here in London, especially in parts of North London. It's gloomy after the North London Derby. In other ones, the sun is shining over Jose's empire, but we have a packed show. We have Bayern and Leipzig. We have quick hits. So let's get into it.
Yes.
And let's start. Jose Mourinho, top of the league once more. He said he's loving it. He says he's absolutely loving it. 2-0 over Arsenal. Do you want to praise Mourinho or find fault with Arsenal to begin?
I think we should praise Mourinho because, again, the plan worked so well. It's maybe not as much as a masterclass than the Man City game because Arsenal, it was a bit too easy and they were a bit naive defensively. They knew exactly how Spurs would play and they still got a call very early on, and after that it's completely difficult. You can always make a point that you would have liked Spurs to play a bit more in that second half.
Why?
Because they could have scored 3 and 4 easily.
Or they could have conceded.
Maybe
the right thing.
No, but I've got no issue with him saying, like, why did we need to attack more? We didn't need, we were 2-0 up. It's good. You know, again, the plan worked. There'd be a time where it might not work as well, where Son and Kane are not on a day like this, when they shoot once and they score. But for now, it's working and good for them. They're top of the table. They're really solid again. Don't concede against Chelsea, don't concede against City, don't concede against Arsenal. Even when they're under pressure, it's almost perfect again.
We've always said that style of play works when you score first. It works against bigger teams who like having a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
If you go and play Burnley and they put 8 people in the 6-yard box.
Crystal Palace next weekend.
It becomes tougher, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't score. You know, you get a set piece or whatever.
They did that Burnley.
How confident are you that they can do that regularly, given that, you know, he might set up differently against those teams?
Yeah, but the issue I had yesterday watching the game, and Ndombele wasn't there, and again, I think there's another bit of tension between him and Mourinho.
Again? My God. Enough.
I know, but I watched Lo Celso. Lo Celso didn't play football on Sunday. This was not football. For Giovanni Lo Celso, who's a very gifted football player, was not football.
He didn't need to. He queued the camera.
Yeah, but that's great. But he didn't enjoy that game. It's not possible because he didn't play football. He just ran and defend well and got the ball back and everything. Now, next week at Crystal Palace, you said to Giovanni Lo Celso, hey, forget everything that you've done so far this season pretty much, but now we need to play high up. You need to switch it on completely. And you'll have a lot of the ball and you're going to create and you're going to do this. But you see what I mean? He spent a lot of games
right.
defending.
And then the next game, he'll do what comes naturally to him.
Yeah, but I don't think he's that easy to switch on. And I'm really excited and looking forward to the Palace game. And I really want Spurs to be able to turn it on and switched on and changed everything to be able to play with possession and to see Lo Celso actually playing in his normal profile and normal role, which he's creating. Because yesterday he didn't create anything because that was not his job.
All right. We'll get more into this later, but we got to also look at the flip side, which is Arsenal. Tell me about the second goal. I just want to start off the top. I don't want to go and gratuitously have a go at Thomas Partey, but what does he need to go to the sideline to go and tell Arteta that, hey, I need to come off in a minute when the half is over? Does he need to do it? I mean, who screwed up? Who noticed? Hey, look. That large man who's in front of the back four, holding midfielder, is gone. Somebody called Granit, get him to come back. What happened? How do these breakdowns happen?
I think it was just a combination of factors that were really unfortunate in the sense that it's a counterattack for Arsenal. They have to go for it. It's a quick transition, actually, when Spurs are on the back foot. They have to go for it. They have to commit people forward because that was the plan as well. And parties at the beginning of it, but he can't do anything. He can't run anymore. I think the risk that you had that you took to play him.
Right, but once he goes to the sideline.
But he can't run anymore. I think, you know.
No, but once he walks over to the sideline to go and have his conversation with Arteta, shouldn't somebody pick up on that?
It's too late. They've lost the ball and they've committed 5 players up front. And now his job was to be in the middle.
Right, and if he can't do it, he can't either. Somebody else needs to pay attention. You've got 2 centre backs behind you.
Flash or Superman. How can you come back that quick when you realise he's not there anymore? Do you see what I mean?
It's not like he sprints to the sideline.
But I expect
one of the central defenders to call back the fullback on the opposite side or to call back Xhaka into his position.
Quick, Gab. Trust me, I was there, and he goes too quickly. By the time they go forwards, they lose the ball. It comes back straight to Lo Celso. This is it.
All right, I'm not going to go and double down on the front line that, you know, between them, I think, make around $40 million and season and who have a combined age that's in the 90s. But Aubameyang now all of a sudden seems to be more of a talking point than Lacazette. What's wrong with Alba? Has he lost his confidence? Is this a thing, or is he just going through a bad stage? Are people being mean when they say, oh, look, you signed your big contract, now you're mailing it in? I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it's got anything to do with the contract. It's just, yeah, I think...
I thought he would do better with Lacazette.
Yeah, and I think he would. But you saw yesterday, he had more opportunities, let's say. There's the header over the bar. There's the one-on-one with Alderweireld that I think I could have put my house on. He would have gone on his right foot and curl it. And instead, he goes on his left. And then it's a great block from Alderweireld, who defended really well. But so there was more opportunities and chances for him on Sunday than at any game already this season. And that's because he played more central, because Lacazette played behind. I think there was a lot of interesting things that Arteta did in the way they set up, right, the formation, that left-hand side with Tierney and Saka. I mean, Willian is Willian. I'm not... You know, I don't really...
There's no reason for him to be on this team.
I just don't...
At the moment that they're at...
I just don't think he's at his best. And I just don't think he should start. But Pepe was suspended. That was his last game. Suspension. Pepe is very... I think Pepe would do good in the team that plays like that.
This is my difficulty with the lineup he put out there. And, like, in the end, you can rewind this and say Arsenal were beaten by a worldie from Hong-Min Son.
Yeah.
And another one where... You know, a stupid breakdown where Partey walks off the pitch and you insist that there was nothing that could be done. I don't know. I think players should have seized responsibility. But that said, I'm not sure that this lineup works when you have... You know that they're going to set up this way. You know you need passers who can unlock the ball, right?
Yeah.
So who's Arsenal's best passer of the ball? Oh, it's Mesut Ozil. Okay, fine. But apart from him, right... I presume it's Dani Ceballos.
Yeah.
Right? Why can't you find room for him in the lineup? What is this thing because with half-fit Partey and Xhaka?
So Xhaka is the leader in that team. He's the experience.
That's right.
So he plays him. And then you've got Partey because he's... You know, he brings that energy, he gets the ball back, he can do everything in that midfield. He's got that physical dimension that Ceballos doesn't have, for example. In a game when you play against... to Golgot in Højbjerg and Sissoko, I think it makes sense.
And you can't play three people in central midfield?
No, you can. But I was glad that at least he went back to a back three, because this is not a team that can play with a back four right now. They just don't have it. So he went back to a back three. That was good. And then, yeah, of course, you could always talk about Bellerin on the right. You can always talk about all the crosses. You know, I get that. You can talk about Willian, as we did earlier. You know, and... Yeah.
You think he's under pressure? I mean... I logic to me suggests, based on this, and look, I know it's up and down. I thought Bellerin had an absolute shocker of a game.
Yeah, it was difficult.
I don't watch much Europa League, but I know Arsenal fans who do, and they tell me that Cedric's been starting in the Europa League.
Yeah, but against Rapid Vienna, you see what I mean? You also have to put it all in context.
Okay. But what's the deal with Bellerin? Like, I mean, I know he got slaughtered by your buddy Tony Adams as well. Apparently,
I don't know, but
I can see it. I read in the Daily Mail.
You can have a bad game. You know, it's not.
Do you think he's a good player? Do you think he's an Arsenal caliber player?
I think he's better suited to play as a right wing back than as a right back. So I think that system suits him. But it was always going to be hard. I think clearly, for Mourinho's game plan, it was to play on his side with Son, and that worked perfectly. Then that's what I liked about Mourinho, is that you play against City and Joao Cancelo, and that's the weak link defensively. You play Son on his side.
Yeah, he targets it, yeah.
Yeah. Bellerin, according to Mourinho, is the weak link in the Arsenal defence. You put Son on the other side, which is his more natural side, so he works anyway, and Bergwijn on the other side, and you target him, and Kane plays on that left-hand side, and Son comes on that left-hand side, and that's the direction that you take, and it works for you. So he was also targeted, couldn't really respond. He could have maybe done with a bit more Willian helps, probably.
Could you have played a back four if David Luiz had been fit?
I don't think this team can play a back four right now, Gab. Not in a game like this.
All right, give Arsenal fans something to get excited about.
I think there was a lot of positive. Arteta was happy after the game. He was happy by...
I was happy with the fight.
Always say, okay, look at the performance and the content and not always at the result, right? That's what always say.
How many saves did the Spurs goalkeeper make?
They had two shots on target. He made one, a good one on the header by Lacazette. And then that's it. How many Leno saves did he make?
Yeah, I know, but they weren't the ones chasing the game.
But he could not get near... Yeah, I know, but do you see what I mean? It's like you've got... you've got a couple of chances.
I go back to this. What worries me, what I would worry me if I were an Arsenal fan, is that you are locked into these people now, right? There's no escaping it, right?
No.
I think Saka should play in the front three if you can.
He kind of did yesterday.
I'm saying is, have somebody else at left wing back. You know, when Martinelli comes back, when Pepe's suspension finishes, where do these pieces fit? What do they do?
He would have to find a way of making
that work.
What, play
with 14 guys? I don't...
No, but maybe then if Martinelli is on great form, then you play him on the right-hand side instead of Willian or Pepe.
What's the latest on him? Because obviously he suffered a really bad injury.
Yeah.
Are we going to see him in 2020 or do we have to wait till 2021?
I don't know. It was back training, but I think they would really take their time. He would play with the reserve for a bit and then come back. You can't take any risk or anything like this. But they do need him. If he's the Martinelli that we saw last year and you can quickly improve him as well, I think they could do with him big time.
Yeah, if it's the guy from last year, I want to see him in the lineup and not in the Reece Nelson role.
Yeah, yeah.
On to Mourinho.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair to say that there are some Mourinho loyalists out there who now are saying, aha, revenge is a dish best served cold. Can we just celebrate him for a minute?
Yeah.
He's obviously gotten the players to buy into what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He's playing to the team's strengths.
Yeah.
And I go back to this. Harry Kane's a different player.
Yeah. But remember last year he said, oh, we're not going to challenge for the title this year, but we will next year. And we all know look at the way you're playing. Already, at the end of last year, you could see the progress they were making in exactly what he wanted. Then he goes and get Højbjerg in the summer. Højbjerg is not just, okay, they want Kyle Walker-Peters, let's have a look at this squad. Højbjerg is planned way, way, way before that, because Mourinho knows, okay, I've got Sissoko, brilliant. Harry Winks, not really. Who could I get that would do exactly what I want, that would fit exactly what we want to do, that would be perfect, fit in, and would protect the back four? And Højbjerg, perfect.
But, you know, it's funny you say, oh, I've got Sissoko, brilliant. Yeah, Sissoko has been brilliant. He hasn't always been brilliant.
But he's
more productive now than he was under Pochettino, right?
Yeah, because this is a completely different style of football. I don't think Sissoko really fits the style of Pochettino and what Pochettino wants his midfielder to do. However, it's perfect for Mourinho's style of football, you know? And then yesterday, and where he's brilliant, yesterday we all piece out after the game to do the flash interviews, and all the Spurs players come first. So we've got Sissoko on one microphone, one camera, Kane and Son, and Mourinho. Mourinho has nothing to, he doesn't have to be there, but yet he comes in, and while Sissoko is talking to me, comes and hugs him live on French television. Then what Kane is doing his interview, hugs him live on whatever TV channel.
He would have hugged
was.
You too, except for social distancing.
And then Son. But that, just to make this point, like, you know, these are my boys. I'm so proud. We're this together. And, you know, to do his show. But that's great. And that works so much. And good on him. Good on them. They work as a team. They win. They lose as a team. They haven't lost much. But, you know, and that's what's worked. And that man management is so brilliant. You have to give him a lot of credit for that, even if you don't like it or you don't like the style of football he plays.
So, inspired by Maya Angelou, I've devoted this to Mourinho. You may write him down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trot him in the very dirt, but still, like dust, he'll rise. Does his low block upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause he's got Kane and Son up front, and that, for you, spells doom. Just like he's won the treble twice, with a certainty of tides, just like his three Premier League crowns, still, he'll rise.
Amazing.
The applause is for Mourinho, not for me.
Both, for both of you. You're two geniuses. And I hope you win a prize with this. Is there like a poem of the year?
Well, for ripping off Maya Angelou's work?
No, it's your words, it's, you know.
selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. All right, enough Gooner misery. Let's turn to the Bundesliga. Top of the table clash. Jules, I thought this was, well, me and Captain Obvious here, I thought this was the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Leipzig traveling to face Bayern, finishing 3-3. This game had everything. And who better to dissect that a little bit than Jan Åge Fjørtoft? Jan, I'm going to hit you straight at the top. The Italian in me says, ooh, I don't like to see that bad defending. But then again, mostly from Bayern. But then again, I was thrilled. Is there something to read into it from Bayern's perspective about some of the things that they weren't able to do, some of the mistakes, some of the things that Hansi Flick needs to work on now?
Well, I think that when we saw the end of the Champions League this year, when we played the tournament, we were all discussing how high they are standing with their defense. And there were not a lot of teams that could exploit that weakness, so to say. But Hansi Flick will always say, when we say your defense is bad, your positioning is bad, he will give you three reasons why it's quite good. That is the Bundesliga, the winning the cup, and winning the Champions League. But I think Nagelsmann in this game did it quite well because he came without strikers. And you saw Süle and Boateng, they had no clue in the whole world where to run. I mean, some of the goals, you could just have a look at the goals and you see, well, the goal with Forsberg was not, they didn't find the man and they couldn't communicate well. But also the goal from Kluivert, when Süle, should I stay or should I go? And I think that exploit Bayern very much so. Do I think that he's worried about his defense? No, not his big time worry, but he will be big time worried that Süle and Boateng so individual tactically looking so bad, because these two are seen as some of the best center half in Europe.
Well, and I'm a big fan of Süle, but what gets me here though is it's not the first time that we've seen Leipzig play without a center forward. So we know that was a possibility that he was going to do that. And if we know that, I assume Flick knew that. And I assume that he would have prepared Boateng and Süle for that possibility, especially considering that you were taking a gamble by playing Javi Martinez in the middle of the park. And then, as we saw, the guy had to go out and you had to play Musiala in there, who's not a central midfielder. They scored a great goal and is a really promising player. Why weren't they prepared for this? I mean, is this something he's going to regret? Or as a player, can you prepare for it?
I think they were prepared for it. But I think that if you look at Bayern lately, they're winning games, but still you can also see that they're getting a bit more tired. And I think you also have to see all the injured players they have. And sometimes when you're winning three titles in 1 year, you kind of get a God syndrome kind of thing that you think you will win anyway, whoever you put in midfield, but you will see where is Kimmich when you need him. And you saw, for me, man of the match was Forsberg. I think Forsberg was excellent in this game. There was no one coming up to him. And we can speak a lot about Musiala coming on, but he's 17. Great goal. But how should he kind of solve these kind of troubles that normally Goretzka and Kimmich kind of sort out among themselves? So I think they were prepared, but I think that Bayern has always shown when they've been weak on something. Müller, Lewandowski, and the rest of Gnabry and all these kind of players, they will kind of sort that out. I also think that Lewandowski have a very, very bad, now very, very, but by his standard, that was not the Lewandowski we knew. And then sometimes that end up, and thank God that they're keeping a bit the excitement in the German Bundesliga.
Wasn't as bad as Sané. I just want to add to that before I throw to Jules. By the way, they played their C team effectively in the Champions League in midweek. So while I appreciate fatigue is an issue, Leipzig had to go and play a difficult match against Istanbul Basaksehir, mm-hmm. whereas they were able to really prepare, spend the whole week preparing for this match. Jules?
No, it's just to... I think Kingsley Coman was incredible, and the hat-trick of assists is fantastic. But when I watch Leipzig play, this is why they would never win the Bundesliga, I think, or even the Champions League, because they cannot see out games where they should win like this. Big games, I mean, that they should win. It was the same against PSG in Paris where they lost 1-0. They should have won that game every day. It was the same against Bayer Leverkusen when they drew 1-1. Again, they should have won. And there's other examples this season where they've got everything there for them to win the game. And I don't know if it's a bit of vice that they need, and at times you need to make some fouls that would win you the game and be maybe a bit more nasty, or maybe the lack of experience, I don't know. Maybe Nagelsmann at the end should change a bit. When you get to 75 minutes and you're 3-2 up, maybe you change a little bit your tactic, I don't know. But it was frustrating watching them not winning that game.
I strongly disagree with the fact they can't see out games. But Jan, you get the deciding vote. Let's say Jan decide. Yeah. We're a democracy here.
So give me exactly what I'm voting for, because I have to do this right.
Okay, Jules thinks that their problem is they cannot see out games. They cannot defend
the
lead.
The game they should win, like Saturday.
Well, I'm still not sure what I'm voting at. And in these days, when we see how if we could have stopped counting, if we're going to stop voting. But I will be a diplomat. I think that Nagelsmann made it right. And if I understand it right, Jules, you mean that was not good enough for him? Or was it that he can't do it over enough games?
That they should have won the game. And I wonder why they didn't win the game. Is it because they lack experience? Because they're not maybe nasty enough? Or maybe Nagelsmann should have changed something a little bit towards the end?
Yeah, well, it's fair enough, but he scored 3 goals away from home.
Thank you.
And he didn't win the game.
He didn't have cluster, man.
I think that is the big difference between Bayern and the two main challengers, RB Leipzig and Dortmund. And yes, I haven't forgotten Leverkusen, because Bayern will always, even on a bad day, they will somehow manage to take that over the line and get that point. RB Leipzig not getting the point. I think that is it's hard to define, but that is their culture that Bayern got and RB Leipzig haven't. That I 100% agree with.
Okay, then that means that on the official recount, I win and you're wrong, Jules, you lose. This idea that I mean, you touched upon it there, that this Bayern fight, that they can get back into games. I'm wondering, what could Nagelsmann have done differently at that point to counter it? Like, is Jules' point, is that a fair accusation? Is this the best that they can do? Or could they have done something differently, whether tactically or whatever else, to go and counter and defend that lead at 3-2, Jan?
Well, it's a simple question that need an undefined answer, I would say, because there's something called winning mentality in football culture, and you can't buy that. So if you see Bayern at the end there, you always feel that there is something in there. And then when Koeman is doing this great cross, you know that Lewandowski or Müller will be at the end of that cross. That is just something a club got. I don't think that Nagelsmann could have done a lot differently at the end. I'm not sure that, because that is what Bayern got. They didn't play Augsburg, and no disrespect to Augsburg, they're doing well, but they're playing Bayern. So how can he done it differently? He put on a striker. Could he put on, I'm not sure why he did that, by the way. And I think that what is lacking RB Leipzig this year, a lot of people say, well, they're scoring a lot of goals. Yes, they do. So then people could say, well, they don't miss Timo Werner. Well, the last 15, 20 minutes against Bayern, they missed him big time, because that option was not there. So if that was a bad answer to your simple question, but it's still my answer.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
I think Nagelsmann got greedy on Saturday, in the sense that he's 3-2 up. They're the best team on the pitch. It's at that time, it's maybe a B Bayern team, right? A Bayern B team. You've got Musiala in midfield. You've got Goretzka, who plays as a number six. And I think he goes greedy. He takes off Sabitzer, 72nd minute, when they're 3-2 up, take off Sabitzer and bring Dani Olmo on. Already you're like, whoa, okay. So you put a number 10 on and you take your number 6 or 8, whatever, off. Okay. And then Müller scores. And then it's 3-3. And now he brings on Willy Orban and goes to a back five. And you're thinking, why didn't you do that before? Instead of taking Sabitzer off and put Olmo, go to a back five with 20 minutes to go when you're 3-2 up. A back five that you know how to play so well because that's usually your formation.
You're thinking like an Italian manager from the 80s. I'm not going to fault you.
I'm just wondering. And listen, boys, I love Nagelsmann and I love RB Leipzig and they've got a lot of French players as well. So I'm all in. I just wonder, in a game like this, when they're so good, why did he do that?
Jan?
But I think that, first of all, he played against a Bayern B team. Atletico Madrid played against a Bayern C team and they played 1-1, just to put it in perspective. Secondly, what I think, I mean, I love Sabitzer. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's one of the most underestimated players in all Europe. And I think someone who is clever enough would pick him up from the English clubs as well. That's my prediction. But maybe he thought that Sabitzer, sometimes when you're getting deeper and deeper, it's also to put players on to keep the ball higher up the field. Sometimes when you need a goal, for example, you put on a lot of strikers and it's just getting too crowded up there. Maybe you take away that space that he wanted to take advantage of. So I'm not 100% sure it was his changing who made that 3-3 in that game.
I love Nagelsmann. I didn't at first for many reasons, but he has completely grown on me. But I also feel like we need to talk more about Bayern because Leipzig, of course, are a dirty word. So let's move on from that. Although, one last thing. Everybody made a big deal out of his when he wore that tailored suit in the Champions League.
Yeah,
you had issue with what he was wearing.
So
on
did
Saturday.
You? What? So did you? No, I just thought it looked like a sleeping bag. And again, we should not, talk too much about his dress sense because we know one, he's dreadful, and two, you can still be a very good manager even if you can't dress properly.
I will say this: the man is 32 years old, which in manager years makes him about 13 years old. So when we were 13, I know I was insecure about the way I dressed and my feelings were easily hurt. Now
I wasn't.
I don't care.
I was already
you weren't.
Classy,
I'm sure you were, Jan. It's a normal thing, okay? Let's turn this back to Bayern because Leroy Sané, for me, was a huge disappointment in this game. I can't wrap my head around him. I used to think, all right, if he just stays fit, has a run of games, he taps into his talent. You know, he's got that blistering pace, but he has so much more. He can do that. This was a big game where he could have made his own. No Gnabry, and he didn't. What is the issue there? Is he physically right? Is there something else that we don't know about? Is he just not a good fit for this team?
Well, first of all, I think that we have to take ourselves back why Bayern took him. I think it's very important for Bayern, for the new Bayern, to get the best German players at Bayern, because sometimes they missed out. Secondly, I think sometimes we're unfair to Leroy Sané and the likes of his body language division, because when Leroy Sané, I mean, I wouldn't compare him with Özil, but it's a bit like the same, because if he has a bad game, everybody will say it's all about his body language, and he's come on in some games and he looked like Robin when he comes on from his right doing the curl in the left corner. So when Lewandowski, like Saturday, had a bad game, we still didn't see that body language. And Leroy Sané got that body language. I think that he is at the right place at the moment. Does he want to be a world star or does he want to be a proper German good player? That is all up to him. And Hansi Flick has made a bit power on him lately and give him a bit gas because he wants him to take the next step. He got the chance now, and I agree with you, he failed. That was not a great game for Leroy Sané, and he has to do that because Koeman, like was said here, made a three assists. You have Gnabry. There's so many options how Bayern could play. So it's all up to Leroy Sané if he wants to take next step. Flick can't do it. Bayern can't do it. His teammates can't do it. The only one who can do that is Leroy Sané.
I want to
make him an impact player. That's it, making him an impact player. He's not good enough in those big games. He can start some games, And other games, you play Coman, Gnabry, Müller, and Lewandowski, and he's on your bench. And that's a hell of an asset to have on your bench to come on as an impact
player. It's a lot of money to spend at his age and say you're just going to be an impact player.
I know, but right now he's not ready. He's not ready for games like this. Clearly, it was quite obvious on Saturday. Whatever reasons why, fitness, mental, or, I don't know, a bit of time to adapt into this team, but he's not ready to play those kind of big games.
I want to turn around and do some Monday morning quarterbacking. Obviously, we talked about all the absentees, Kimmich and Tolisso midfield, weigh heavily. Also, the left back, both Davies and Hernandez out, which is why Alaba had to play there. In normal conditions, Alaba, I would assume, would have played central midfield, and they would have been just fine. I'm curious about that. I want to get your view, Jan. Might it have been an option in a game like this, given the issues with Javi Martinez? And Javi Martinez, by the way, played more than an hour in midweek against Atletico Madrid. Mm. So in addition to everything else that's going on with him, it's going to be unlikely that he was going to last in this match. Might it have been an option to go three at the back and maybe go 3-4-3 and maybe use that and then play Alaba in midfield, maybe, you know, whoever you play on the other side, you know, whether you play wing or wing back, you know, we've seen Perisic go from being a winger into a wing back. Just deal with that left side that way, but say, you know what, it's more important that I have Alaba in the middle of the park imposing his personality on the game. Because I'll tell you what, Jan, I thought Goretzka wore a Superman cape in that game. The amount of work that he had to do on his own, effectively. Again, with the benefit of hindsight, would Flick consider a back three if he has to in these situations?
I think he would as a coach, but I don't think he trusts Süle and Boateng.
So maybe add Richards into the mix, no?
Yeah, I could do. But if you're going to play with Süle and Boateng that he wanted to do in this game, and he's putting pressure on Süle lately as well because he's not been 100% fit. So he put him in the team this time, and I don't think he trusts them. And I mean, it could be said that if you play a back three, that is also easier because now Süle and Boateng had no clue, like I said, when to go and when to stay. And I think that it was easier for them to put them in a back four because the roles are better defined, but they failed on that one as well. So do I think he considered it? Yes, but I don't think he considered it when he wanted to use Süle and Boateng.
A word on Thomas Müller as well. I've had this long running thing with the guy. When he first came up, I looked at him and I said, all right, he scores a ton of goals. I get the whole Ram Deuter thing. He's intelligent and whatever. But man, Jules, you're a Techers guy.
Yeah.
He does not look good.
No.
Is he kind of, can we just celebrate him a second? Is he a bit unique where he has this combination of guys? He's got this incredible football vision, incredible football brain.
Yeah.
He's got incredible athleticism.
Definitely.
And he's obviously a winner, and he has heart, and he's got all those intangibles. Is his technique not good, or does he just not look good? Jan, I mean, you're a very technical... but you know what I mean? Like, I think in football, there's actually are a lot of players who get looked at and be like, well, he looks clumsy, right? And maybe they get written off. With Müller, they said, well, it doesn't really matter what he looks like. Look at all the other things he does. Can we just celebrate him a little bit? Because I thought, you know, together with Coleman, obviously, he was one of the real match winners. I know it's nothing new, but it's pretty remarkable.
Well, it's quite easy. Thomas Müller is a world star, but he doesn't look like a world star. When he plays football, he doesn't look like a world star. But what he brings out of the game, it's a world star. Thomas Müller is fantastic. If you see his track record, fantastic. Scored 2 goals in a big game now. Fantastic. Everything is fantastic in and around him. Can you imagine? I mean, sorry, I have a good friend on Niko Kovac, but can you imagine? He wanted to more or less send him away. He wasn't even in his plans.
Well, Jogi Löw did send him away, of course.
That was my next point. And can you believe it? Joachim Löw playing so a boring football games that he is doing at the moment. No enthusiasm, nothing. And what he's doing, he's so stubborn. And hopefully, as we are speaking, I know later today, Joachim Löw will speak to the people. He will come down from his mountain like Moses and speak to the people. And maybe he could say that Thomas Müller could be back. That is a no-brainer for me. He should be back for Germany.
Okay. One last point on this, though. The argument, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, for Jogi Löw believes that he needs to play 3-4-3 because of Germany's great wingers, I guess.
Because of what?
Because of the great wingers that they have.
Currently in their team?
Gnabry. Okay. I'm kidding. Gnabry, Werner, whatever, Sané, you know. The argument is Müller doesn't fit in the 3-4-3, right? That's one of the reasons he's not back. Is that nonsense, or should Löw change? Or
the problem for Joachim Löw now is that he's not fitting the system. And if he's going to save himself, this is one of the few reasons he got to do. You got to get Thomas Müller back. I mean, then you change your system, because the system he's doing now is bad. And I can't say the word that I want to say about it. It's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah,
and maybe Joachim Löw, if he makes that into a kind of thing that he got to play his system is boring and he's not winning games. And he's lucky, for me, if he survives. He's 100% fired after the Euros. But for me, he's lucky if I can see him being the German coach at the championship, because this is going bad. And just talking about details, I saw Rummenigge's statement that it's too much Bierhoff, it's too much Löw. Bayern is slowly now going away from Joachim Löw. That is bad, bad news for Joachim Löw.
I'll tell you, they play at the Euros 4-2-3-1 and Müller will start. I'll tell you right now in December.
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, with Müller.
Oh, objectively, 4-2-3-1 allows you to keep your wingers. And, you know, you can play Kimmich and Kroos or Kimmich and Goretzka in the middle of the park. And you're fine. You can squeeze Werner.
He will have to see sense.
Or you play him at center forward. I mean, he's done that before, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing about Müller. He can fill so many different roles.
That's true.
Frustrating, Jan. But guess what? I'm not a Germany fan, so I don't care. Roll on, Yogi. More Yogi. More 3-4-3. More Robin Koch. Jan, thanks so much.
Pleasure as always, boys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Right, enough yawn. Never thought I'd say that. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
It's a defensive horror show for Barcelona away to Cadiz as they lose 2-1. Jules, the mega blunders will get all the headlines, but they weren't great at the other end either.
Do you remember that day you tried to force me to say Koeman was a good manager and that it was good and things were so much better because they'd be freaking firing Varos in the Champions League or something? This is not a good team. He's not a good manager. They're not doing well. They're ninth in the table. They're 12 points behind
Athletic. So he forced Mingueza and Longley and Ter Stegen to screw up?
It's the whole atmosphere. It's everything. Collectively, what do you see? Do you see a pattern of play? Do you see, is it fun to watch? Do you see some triangles? Against decent teams,
Yeah, the worst thing is that it's going to be difficult to fix it in January. Yeah, it's not impossible.
Exactly. We said Zinedine Zidane was fighting for his job and over the next three games. The first one was at Sevilla at the weekend and they won 1-0 thanks to quite a comical own goal by Bonus. Everything's fine then, right?
Look, everything's not fine because they couldn't get knocked out of the Champions League, but I thought they played really well. Forget the goal. The own goal was fortunate, and it was Bono throwing it into his net. But they had 4, 5, 6, I thought, really clean-cut chances. He got the reaction. They're much better with Casemiro in there. And Sergio Ramos is prepped and ready to go against against Gladbach in the Champions League.
But Sevilla's big mistake. Go at them. Why'd you let them in the game?
Lopetegui screwed this one
pressure.
Up. Manchester United put on a horse show away to West Ham. Another horse show.
Yep.
But then Solskjaer sends on Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford, and they end up winning away from home, just as they seem to do every week this season. 5 out of 5 on the road. Jules, is United's glass half empty or half full?
Both. It was half empty in the first half, like you said. I thought it was the wrong team that Solskjaer put out. I think it was the
He's got to rest players, right? He's got a big Champions League game coming up, right?
Yeah, okay, but you can still rest players and not having that horror show of the first half yet. And then it's a no-brainer halftime. You bring on Rashford, then you bring on Bruno Fernandes. I think, as you said before, your dog could have done that.
What about Sebastian Haller on roller skates?
Oh, my God, that was hilarious. They could have been 3-0 down. Hey, easily. They turn it around, they won. They lose Cavani and Marcel on injuries, though, which is really bad news. Let's see, but they showed character. That's important. Wolves, without Raul Jimenez, put up a fight for about an hour against Liverpool, but then collapsed 4-0. Gab, how impressed were you? Or will you blame double agent Conor Cody?
Conor Cody, of course, Liverpool born and bred. Yep. Uber scouts responsible for the goal, and then he takes a dive and just had it.
Should have got a yellow, right?
For the dive?
Yeah.
I think so. I'm really impressed with Liverpool. I mean, Keller again in goal,
yep.
Curtis Jones. You know, these are the kids doing it. Wolves played well, but it's a different game. When you have all the little guys up front, it's completely different. Raul Jimenez is so important to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Liverpool to keep going and going and going, super impressive. And the injured guys are going to get coming back. I think they're definitely through their rough patch.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they will get stronger. Mm. Atletico Madrid make it 7 wins in a row as they beat Valladolid 2-0. They have a 1-point lead at the top with 2 games in hand. Tough going at first, but Marcos Llorente comes on and changes the game. Though I'm sure you'd rather discuss Lemar than Marcos Llorente, no?
Of course. Come on, transform Thomas Lemar. New Thomas Lemar. I love it. He plays with freedom. He's happy. He scored a great goal to unlock the game. And I agree with you. Llorente coming on was great. He's scored a great goal as well. He's got so much pace and power and stuff.
He's good.
But even when things are not great, like in the first half, they still find a way of winning. That's what we said. And they've been very impressive.
If he were still at Real Madrid, he'd be solving a lot of problems for them.
Milan remained 5 points clear at the top in Serie A after defeating Sampdoria 2-1. Gab, so much for those who said they could not win without Zlatan or Ismail Benacer. But yeah, they did.
7 wins and a draw without Zlatan.
So impressive.
The Ibra dependency trope is over. You know, they had some ups and downs. They had a lot of guys missing. Benacer, of course, also out. Tonali coming in for him. Rafael Leao out.
Yeah.
But no, I think they look good. Sampdoria parked the bus, and then in the second half, Milan ground them down and beat them. They're on track.
They're on track.
And Zlatan's coming back soon because he tweeted a picture of himself
running
in the snow.
In the snow. Come on, man. The guy is crazy.
Chelsea beat Leeds and Marcelo Bielsa 3-1. We have to mention Marcelo Bielsa every time we mention Leeds United, of course. They're third in the table. Jules, they've had 13 different goal scorers already this season. How legit a threat are they? And what did you make of Havertz, the midfielder, once again?
They're very legit, I think. As we can see, they've got that momentum. They've got the personnel. They've got the versatility.
Kurt Zuma, top scorer.
Kurt Zuma, I love Kurt. Colonel Kurt, as you know. And Havertz, I think he would take him a bit of time wherever he plays.
Yeah, but this position, this is not his position.
This is not his position, but we've said it many times.
No.
So don't expect him to be like, you know, whoever great in that position. You know, he's never going to be that world-class player in that position anyway. Ugly scenes at Millwall, though, Gab, who hosted Derby County in the Championship on Saturday. A number of the 2,000 fans were allowed back in the stadium, loudly booed the teams taking a knee before kickoff.
It is ugly. Something similar happened at Colchester as well. I think this was always a risk that you were going to take once you allow the fans back in.
Yeah.
But the reality is the fans have to come back in. I go back to what I said at the beginning. I think it's different when it's individual players deciding to take a knee as opposed to when ignorant fans get the impression, oh, but this is the league endorsement. This is part of the system. This is being shoved down our throats, which it isn't. It's just about equality. But once the league stepped in and says, oh, yeah, guys, does everybody do this? Not that anybody's being forced to do it. It takes on a different flavor. For me, I don't think the message should have effectively gone corporate. I know a lot of the players were in favor of it. That's fine. Let players do it individually before kickoff. And then if people then still boo them, then you go and you have a much stronger argument against them. But really, really ugly. Thomas Tuchel rests Neymar and leaves Mbappe on the bench initially. But your boys still get a 3-1 win over Montpellier. I guess when you have Moise Keane, you don't need those other two guys, right?
What helps when he scores the world-class goal like he did, incredible, to make it 2-1, and then Kylian comes on and scores his 100th goal.
In garbage time, but yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. 100 goals.
Isn't he like the fourth all-time goal scorer in the history of Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. 100 goals in 137 appearances at 21 years of age. He's 22 at the end of the month. We'll have a special show for his birthday, of course, Kylian. We love you so dearly.
I think he'll come on as a guest too.
Juventus need two late-headed goals to win the derby against Torino, as Dybala has another stinker, and Cristiano as well, to be fair. Gab, things still aren't right, really. It's just so difficult for them, everything.
No, yeah, they're not right. Shout out to Weston McKennie, of course, who got one of those two goals, and Bonucci, the late header. This was a win with heart, not a win with Pirlo's style of play. The journey is still a really, really long journey. The pieces don't fit together. They're not taking his message on board. Again, you stick with it. You have to be patient. Yeah. You have no other choice. Manchester City beat Fulham 2-0, and Pep Guardiola praises their defending and how few shots they conceded in the last three games against Fulham, Porto, and Burnley. Is this a new thing, Jules?
Well, I guess teams who don't attack. What's the pride of not conceding shots when the teams you play against don't attack? Let's see. Let's see in the big game starting against Man United in the derby at the weekend. No, Erling Haaland and Lucien Favre's Borussia Dortmund need a wonder goal from Joe Reyna to avoid defeat against Eintracht Frankfurt and get a point, but drop two.
Yeah, it's definitely 2 points drop. Look, I appreciate Erling Haaland's important. He tried this whole false nine, Julian Brandt. Yeah. It doesn't work.
It hasn't worked. We told you many times.
So in the second half, lucky for him, he puts out Moukoko. But you shouldn't put a 16-year-old kid in that position. This is something I think that they really need to work on. It's time for people to step up. It's time for the veterans to step up. Hummels, Sean, people like that. Rice. Witzel in midfield. And it's also, though, an opportunity, I think, for guys like Gio Reyna to go and make this team their own. And Sancho as well. They need the best Sancho out there. We got a little bit of it, not quite enough yet.
Yeah.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Napoli beat Crotone 4-0. And Jules, you gotta love the techers from Piotr Zielinski and Lorenzo Insigne. You know how sweet was that?
Oh man, Diego is watching from heaven and he's looking down on them and saying like, oh yeah, he's happy with that. Brilliant, brilliant performance. I mean, Crotone, and they were even down to 10 men and stuff, but brilliant from Insigne, especially in that kind of form, is so good.
And Gattuso still grumpy, says, oh, we weren't four goals better than them.
Inter beat Bologna 3-1. They actually looked clinical and composed. Eriksen came on in the 90th minute. Exactly. Is Conte sending him a message? That's bad. He humiliated him. There was no point.
I have no idea if he's trying to play like master psychologist or if he just wants to be mean-spirited. I'm assuming this is part of Conte's master psychologist. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he gets bonus points for appearances. They've made it clear that he can go in January if somebody signs him. But, you know, given the amount of money that he makes, given the fact that basically by sending him on, you're basically saying, oh, look, this guy is a piece of lint. That's about as useful as he is to me. It's going to be really hard, I think, for Inter to shift them. So, yeah, I don't get this at all. I hope, again,
are you loaning and you take 50-50 on the wages or something? That's the only way. That's the only way. It's a loan.
Obvious loan. Yeah. Arsenal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great story?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
By the way,
Eriksen to Arsenal. You heard it here first.
Sinisa Mihailovic before the game asking his press conference.
this is so funny.
You're going to change your formation then? And he goes, no. I just did it yesterday at training to see who was...
Who the mole in the camp was
to tell the press. But actually, no, I won't change anything. I mean, they still got battered, but loved. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
He completely, basically had a closed training session. He completely changed his formation. And he said, all right, we're going to try this new wacky formation. And then in the papers, like, oh, look, they tried a new formation. He's asked about it. No, we didn't. But I know who talked. Like, you know, I'm going to find him. Steven Gerrard's Rangers are top in Scotland. Jules, they've conceded 3 goals all year. Significant.
3 goals in 16 league games. Pretty incredible. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, 50% more than Atletico Madrid. But
Atletico played 10. Yeah. So let's see when they play 16. See? But they scored 45. They're really good going forward. They're very solid. He's made them really structured. That's That's his philosophy anyway. And then you've got players like Morelos and the two Ryans, Kent and Jack. Okay. And they're really good. No, but they're really good. They've got experience with McGregor and Stephen Davis, who's probably been playing the best football of his career. So it's great. I think he's got that. Stevie G has got that in him to be able, you know, to get that team together, gelling, working hard.
Tough time for Yanis Hadji, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's official. The San Paolo Stadium in Naples is now the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona. Gab.
Yes, and they're going to rename the subway stop as well on the Cumana Railway. We said it was going to happen. It's weird because I was told that you had to be dead at least 10 years to get something entitled to you. No, seriously, I thought that was the rule. But
that's not true.
Surprisingly, they get special dispensation, and obviously you're going to give Diego special dispensation in Naples. Bayer Leverkusen beat Schalke 04 3-0 and are second in the Bundesliga. They're just 1 point behind Bayern. Jules, should we take them seriously, or is the Peter Boss factor too great? Or is it the Schalke factor because they're terrible?
No, because, yes, there's a bit of that. Schalke were terrible, scored an own goal after 10 minutes and the game was over already. And you think, like, it's good. I thought it's good for you, Schalke players, that you don't have any fans at all in the stadium because it would have been chaos. They haven't won in 26 games or something like that, Schalke. And for Bayer Leverkusen, it was good that 4-3-3 works well. Patrick Schick, who we both love very dearly, scored and is playing well. You've got Leon Bailey on one side. You've got Moussa Diaby on the other side. That works. At some point, I could see by your face, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. That's what they always do. But if you look at the big games, they drew with Leipzig. They drew with Gladbach as well. They have to play Bayern, and then maybe we will see against Bayern.
And still the wunderkind, Florian Wirtz.
He's doing really well, in that midfield. You know, starting regularly now, so good on him. Luka Modric is out of contract this summer, and it doesn't look like he's going to get a new one. Certainly at Real Madrid, Gab. Does he have anything left on the tank? Who should take him? Who would take him?
Well, it's funny because, like, he's going to be 35, right? It's all speculation and stuff about his contract. But the indication is that, you know, if you're Real Madrid, everybody's taking a big hit financially.
Yeah.
You can't go to him and say, hey, Luka, you can stay, but here's a big fat pay cut. You know, football doesn't work that way. No. I think he can still play a while. Like, he's one of those, like, sort of little light technical players. He's not going to have the intensity that obviously he had before because he's getting older. But I think he can very much do a job for somebody. I'd love to see him reinvent himself somewhere. And, you know, since earlier we talked about Christian Eriksen coming back to London, wouldn't Luka Modric, another former Spurs guy, come on, it worked well when Arsenal got Sol Campbell, right?
Yeah.
One more Judas? No?
Yeah, but no. But no, I was more thinking about, hang on, like a league where it's quite slow but tactical.
Oh, yes.
For a team and a manager who likes people over 34. Inter. Perfect. Oh, and he's got all these bros there. Brozovic, Perisic, you know, all of that. Great.
Yes. Don't give him any ideas. Don't give him any ideas. Please, like, I love Luka Modric, but come on, man. Come on, man. Paris Saint-Germain terminated Jesse's contract. Jules, there was a time when he looked like the next big thing.
Not in Paris, though. He never. He arrived in 2016.
There was a time before that.
Before that, but it just didn't happen for him. He had problems in his private life as well, which obviously we can't judge anything on it. You know, that was not his fault, I guess. But on the pitch, he never worked out. They finished his contract. He arrived in the summer 2016. It was just a disaster. Plenty of loans, Stoke City, Las Palmas, wherever. It's just not happening. I hope he can find a club and be happy again. You know, that's all. Mario Balotelli underwent a medical at Monza in Serie B. Gab, how much fun is the Balotelli-Kevin Prince-Boateng partnership is going to be in the second division?
On a night out, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's interesting. Obviously, Monza owned by Silvio Berlusconi.
Who's the sporting director?
They're ambitious. Adriano Galliani is the chief engineer. It's the old gang there.
Yeah.
Back together again on the outskirts of Milan. They're flirting with the playoffs in Serie B. Who knows? It would be quite a story, but guess what? As with all things Balotelli, I'm not holding my breath. Right, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Jules, shall we come back next week, Thursday, do it again?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.